There is a word from the Lord on today that shall come forth from the 118th division of Psalms. And we will read in your hearing verse 17. Well, let me say verses 1 and verse 17. Praises be to God. Amen. And as always, we're reading according to the New American Standard Version. And it reads as follows. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his loving kindness is everlasting. Verse 17, I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. I'll read verse 17 again as our primary verse. I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. If it be God's will, we'd like to speak for just a moment from our continued theme and thesis in part 4 of our series here today entitled Live. Live. One thing that is easy to ascertain in our society today is that more times than not, too many people have not been taught to live. The psalmist here in this 118th division makes a powerful statement born out of a powerful inclination. That inclination is a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. That he shall not die, but live. Amen. And give thanks, yes, amen, unto the Lord. Matter of fact, he said he's going to tell of the works of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. And the reason why he's going to tell of the works of the Lord is because it is the works of the Lord that's blessed him to live and not die. Amen. Praises be to God. Amen. We said in our previous parts of this series that dying consisted of more than just no longer breathing. Dying was not just physical death, but dying consisted here from this particular verse and this particular word out of the Hebrew of also spiritual death. And that it not only consisted of physical and spiritual death, but death as it relate to the promises and the blessings of Almighty God. Amen. Somebody gonna help me pray today. Amen. As we visit this briefly again, when we think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and when the enemy, the serpent, Satan, went in and deceived Eve so that she could disobey God, in that moment of disobedience, when they partook of that which God told them not to partake of, oh, I'm going to have to put a pin here because somebody's going to have to get an understanding. Amen. Oh, bless you, Lord, today. In and of itself, and I've never preached this before, but I'm going to obey the Holy Spirit today. In and of itself, the tree itself was not poison. Somebody gonna have to talk to me. Amen. See, in other words, it wasn't that the tree was poison ivy or something that had some other type of poisonous aspect in it. What made the tree death is that God said it was death. Just as sure as all creation came into being because God said it. I don't think I need to go back and visit chapter 1 where he said, let there be. It was the let there be's that created the heavens and the earth that make up our universe. It was the let there be's that caused the sun to shine and the moon to glow and that caused the stars to be in their silver sockets because of the let there be's. Because of what God spoke. And God said to them that from every tree of the garden you may eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, this tree you shall not partake. And because God said it, that's what made it so. And as a result of them disobeying God and his word, that's what allowed sin to come in. See, because sin defined biblically is disobedience to God. It's just three words. Disobedience to God. That's all that sin is. So the fact that they disobeyed God is what allowed sin to come in. And anytime God is disobeyed, separation is established. Separation is created. And see, because God himself is life, when there's a separation from life, then the only thing left is death. They died a physical death. Did they drop dead that moment? Absolutely not. They lived hundreds of years on from there. But God intended for them to live for eternity. Amen. See, sometimes folk take God's kindness for weakness. Somebody gonna make me preach in here. See, just cause he don't bust them upside the head with a lightning bolt or something the minute they do wrong, they say, well, hey, they did wrong, ain't no nothing happened. Go it on a little further. Not so. See, because the moment that they sin, death entered in. And they were on the clock at that point. So physical death took place. Also, spiritual death took place in the sense that there was a separation from God. They no longer had fellowship with God. There was no longer intimacy of relationship with God. And the blessings of God also died that day. Somebody gonna hear me. See, they forfeited the blessing and gave the curse a big hug. Lord have mercy. They walked away from the blessing. They loosened their embrace of the blessings of God and turned around and hugged the curse. So the blessings of God in their life died that day. Because of sin, because of disobedience to God. But yet the psalmist says, I shall not die, but live and tell of the works of the Lord. He said, what Adam and Eve got, I didn't get. Oh, somebody gonna pray with me. I didn't get what they got, but even though I did what they did. I didn't get what they got. And somebody's going to have to recognize why. And that's why he started the song out. See, when you sing a song, it's coming from somewhere else. It's coming from a heart, a mind, and a soul that has experienced what a person's singing about. And the psalmist is singing about the goodness of God. He starts the song out, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his loving kindness is everlasting." And he's singing that song because God has blessed him to live when he knew good and well that he deserved to die. Oh, bless the Lord today. Oh, bless the Lord today. Yeah, he deserved a physical death. He deserved a spiritual death. And he deserved to die to the promises and the blessings of God. And if I had time, I'd tell you today, so do you and I. Oh, but for the grace of God. But for the mercy of God. But for the loving kindness of Almighty God in the person of Jesus Christ. In the person of Jesus Christ. How can you sing a song, psalmist, songwriter? How can you sing a song celebrating life when you know that you have sinned and death belongs to you? This is what he said as he gives us a peek through the window of his praise. Good God Almighty. In the 18th verse, he says this. He say, "The Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death." Oh, if I had some time. Oh, if I had some time. Y'all gonna make me praise the Lord in here. I said, you're going to make me give him some praise. He said he's disciplined me severely. So I want to stop long enough. I got to put a pin here where I'm going because I don't want to encourage somebody to sin. Sin has a cost. Oh, y'all going to make me pray now. I say sin has a cost. The psalmist is telling us, the Lord disciplined him severely. In other words, some pain and some suffering and some agony he had to endure because of sin. But yet, even in the midst of all of the pain and suffering and agony that he had to endure, he is singing a song celebrating the goodness of God because the Lord yet caused him to leave. Caused him to leave. See, because he gives us a deeper look here in his celebration, in his song, in his praise. He says here that the Lord disciplined him severely, but he has not given him over to death. He says in verse 19, "Open to me the gates of righteousness." Oh, y'all ain't going, "Whoa, good God Almighty. How can you be a sinner, songwriter, and say open for you the gates of righteousness? How can you make such a bold decree and declaration unto righteousness when you know that sin has been in your life?" He says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I shall enter through them. I shall give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteousness will enter, or rather the righteous will enter through it," here in verse 20 of this 118th division of Psalm. Verse 21 says, "I shall give thanks to thee. Thou hast answered me, and thou hast become my salvation." Good God Almighty. He says he's telling us that he's able to enter the gates of right. He's declaring to him. He's speaking to the gates of right. "Open up and let me in. I belong in there. It's the place that God has given me. Because God himself is my salvation." For the New Testament believer, his name is Jesus Christ. And it's his shed blood on Calvary's cross that has remitted, has done away with our sins, yours and mine. So we too can declare, "Open the gates of righteousness and let me in. Let us in. Open the gates of righteousness." Because God himself is our salvation. His name is Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, the stone, he goes on to identify him even more so. He says, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, bless the name of God today. Yeah, this is the day that the Lord has made. And let us rejoice in it. God made the day that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary's cross for your sins and mine. I said, God made the day. God made the day. Over 2,000 years ago on Golgotha's Hill, good God Almighty, God made that day. The Bible says that that day was made before the foundations of the world. Because it says that the Lamb was slain even before the foundations of the world. Jesus Christ's blood was shed for you and me. Yeah, so open the gates of righteousness and let us in. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, bless his name today. In Christ Jesus. Don't let anybody shame you out of the house of God. Don't let anybody shame you from being numbered among the people of God. Don't let anybody shame you from walking into the gates of the righteousness of Almighty God, because we belong there. Because we belong there. Yeah, open the gates and let us in. The gates of righteousness because of the Lord. Yeah, we shall live and not die. And I got a challenge for you. I want to challenge you to do the same thing the psalmist did. Tell of the works of the Lord. Good God Almighty. Go tell somebody what Jesus did for you. Go tell somebody that Jesus died on Calvary's cross and that his blood was shed for your sins and mine. Go tell somebody about the goodness of God. Go tell somebody about how God saved you and set you free and gave you victory. Go tell somebody. See, if we'll do what the psalmist did, the church house will be full. Because there's nothing like a witness and a testimony to the glory of God. See, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it.
Tell it.
Yeah, the church will be running over. Folk, just like you see all these folk in the food lines, y'all been watching the news, all these folk lining up to get food because they've lost jobs. The economy has taken all these big hits, and folk are lined up for miles. See, that's the way it'll be trying to get into the church house. When folks start telling it. See, somebody told them where to show up and get fed. Somebody told them where they could get some help. Somebody told them, good God Almighty, where they could be sustained in the times of difficulty. Somebody told them. Somebody told them. Until we start telling folk. Yeah. Until we start telling folk about what God has done in our life. As we live out and walk out the salvation of victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, we got to start telling folk. Oh, let me pause here for a minute. Let me pause here for a minute. Because see, telling folk ain't just what you say with your mouth. It's what you do with your life. This brother started writing songs to the praise and the glory of God. Oh, bless his name today. This brother came on in to the gates of righteousness and started walking out and living out Christ in his life. That's what this brother did.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So he was telling of the works of the Lord. And not just what he said, but what he did.
Amen.
So he said, give thanks. Yeah. To the Lord. For he is good. Yeah, he said, give thanks to the Lord. For he is good. Preacher, how you gonna call the Lord good when he done whooped you for doing wrong? How you gonna call the Lord good? See, because this songwriter said that he was disciplined severely. He said he got a whooping put on him like he hadn't had before. Oh, somebody better pray today. How can a man? How can a woman? How can a boy or girl call God good in the midst of his discipline? How can he be called good? Because he understood. The psalmist understood that it was because of God's grace, because of his mercy, because of his loving kindness. That's what the word loving kindness means. First and foremost, loving kindness is the love of God. He knew God loved him. He knew God loved him. See, the word of God say that God chastens those that he loves. Good God Almighty. He knew that God was not correcting him or disciplining him because he hated him. He was chastening him, correcting him because he loved him. He didn't want to see him go the wrong way, doing the wrong things. He didn't want cursing in his life. He wanted blessing in his life. So he disciplined him when he headed the wrong way and did the wrong thing and made the wrong decisions and the wrong choices. God disciplined him. But yet he's giving thanks to the Lord for the whooping. Amen, somebody. I said for the whooping. See, some folk ain't going to understand. It takes somebody that's done a little growing to understand that. Amen. It takes somebody that has done some maturing to understand praising God for a whooping. See, because when I was a kid, I wasn't happy about a whooping. Oh, yeah, can I just be honest with you? I wasn't happy about a whooping. First of all, I did everything I could to avoid it. I recommend you do that spiritually by trusting, honoring, and obeying the Lord. Hey, I was committed to doing what was right. Not because I was righteous, because I didn't want a whooping. I knew Dad and Mama gave out whoopings. Amen. Shoot, you couldn't beat me doing right. Yeah. And even when I messed up and did something wrong, I was trying to figure out a way. Trying to figure out a way. But when I look back over my life as an adult, once I became an adult and I matriculated through the years, I couldn't thank God enough. And I told Dad and Mama, thank you for correction. Amen. I thank them for it. Because they kept me from what other folk around me got instead. They kept me at the jailhouse. Amen, somebody. They kept me at the dope house. Amen, amen, somebody. Amen. They kept me.
Amen.
Out of a whole lot of houses.
Yeah.
Where harm would have come to me. Yeah. And instead, yeah, they directed me to the house of the Lord. So I thanked them for correcting me. I'll never forget, I went and told Mama. I remember she got a hold of me when I was in fifth grade. And when I got out of college and started working in corporate America as a young man in my 20s, I told Mama, thank you for the whoopings. Thank you for the correction. I told Daddy, I remember when you got a hold to me for this and got a hold to me for that. I said, I just want to let you know I appreciate you. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I know what you were doing and I know why you were doing it. Yeah. I know you loved me and you wanted the best for me. And I'm going to tell you something else. If folk had sense enough to praise God for, see, they do the same thing with their parents. They would praise their parents for having a standard. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. That if you do this or you do that, they're going to be a call. There's going to be some consequences. Because the other folk didn't have consequences. So they went headlong into destruction. Because nobody required of them a standard of righteousness. So I thanked them for being godly parents that loved me enough to correct me when I was wrong and to have a standard that I knew I had to measure up to. See, when I went to school, Mom and Daddy told me, you better get your books. But don't let that teacher get on that phone and call me. Don't dare let a note be written and your name be on it and it don't be a good report. Amen, somebody. They told me don't go up to that school fighting. Don't go up to that school cutting up and hey. Because if you do, I'm gonna do some cutting up of my own. Amen. And I understood that. I remember one time in the eighth grade, I was in class cutting up. Oh man, I had the whole class laughing and before everybody was cutting up in there. But I was cutting up with them. This was one of them cutting up kind of classes. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Well, the teacher didn't have a good handle on things in the classroom. So I was cutting up when everybody else was cutting up. But somehow that old teacher looked out down her glass and you come here. I said, why me? Well, what you, all these folks around here cut, why you gonna call me? She said, I'm giving you a referral. I said, oh no. Oh no. Why is she gonna give it to me? Don't you have any for these other folk? They was cutting up before I was cutting up. They were cutting up louder than I was cutting up. I'm the one cutting up lately. why me? That woman gave me that referral. Oh my goodness. I said, all right, I'll figure out how to get out of this. I'm going to go tell the principal when she sent me over there. I didn't do it. Everybody else, I didn't do it. So I got to the office. I told him, I didn't do it. He said, bend over this desk. I said, hold up, man. I said, did you not hear me? I told you I didn't do it, and you telling me to bend over the desk? You ain't said hi, bye, or nothing. Just bend over the desk. I said, you got to listen to me. He said, I heard you, and I bend over the desk. I said, no, you ain't finna hit me with that board. I stood up on him. When I stood up like that, he said, Miss Johnson, get Giles' mama on the phone. Uh-oh. I said, oh, on the phone. Daddy was out of town. He was working for the government at the time. And he said he fits to call mama, who's out working hard, providing for the family so that I could have and the family could have. Daddy's way working hard so the family can have. And my contribution is cutting up. It wasn't going to be pretty. I hurry up and told that brother, hold it. I say, sir, please, look here. Tell you what, just stop, Miss Johnson.
Hurry up and stop, Miss Johnson. I'm over here now. I just told him to go ahead. Man, I hated a whooping. I knew it was going to be pain. I'd heard that this guy could swing a board. And I had no intention for him to ever hit me. But when he said, call Giles, mama, man, hurry up and hit me with that board. Pain or not. Because there was a standard. See, nowadays, somebody get ready to correct the kid, I'm calling my mom and dad. Huh? I remember when I was administrator some years ago, before I retired, back in the early 2000s. And I'm telling you, kid would get on. I say, I'm going to call. If you don't settle down, I'm going to call your mom. Call my mama. Call my dad. Y'all ain't going to get up. See, what? You want me to call your mom? I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. Times had changed. See, because back when I was growing up, parents wasn't coming up there to defend kids. They were coming up there to defend the teachers and the school system and the education of the kids. They were going to defend. No. I told them, hurry up and whoop me. Because there was a standard at home. Amen, somebody. And I thank mom and daddy for that standard. Yeah, I thank them for that standard. That's what made me get in that class and act right. Them teachers didn't have no more problems out of me after that. Because I knew, not because I got a whooping with that board, but because I knew that that principal would get on that phone. Amen. Amen. And if he called home, it was on. Amen. Pulled his pen. Amen. He said, give thanks to the Lord. Amen. For he is good. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yeah. His loving kindness is everlasting. Yeah. Yes, the loving kindness not only represents the obvious, God's love and his kindness, but it also represents the faithfulness of God. To know that his word is true and blessed forever. Amen. And that God is God. Yes. And that there's none beside him. Amen. That's why we give thanks to the Lord. Amen. Because he is good. Amen. It represents his mercy and his grace. Yes. See, mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Yes. Amen, somebody. Yes. See, we deserve the same thing what Jesus got. What he did not deserve. He got our punishment. Yeah, yeah. Amen. Yeah. We deserve to be on Calvary's cross. Amen. Yeah. Crucified. Amen. Unto death. That was our punishment. Yeah. But instead of God allowing us to get punished, not only did he not allow us to be punished, to receive that punishment, yeah, that punishment of death, yeah, but instead he turned around and gave us life. That's what grace is. See, mercy and grace is two sides of the same coin. God not giving us what we did deserve and then turning around and giving us what we didn't deserve. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a portrait of God's mercy and his grace. Yeah, his mercy and his grace. Yeah, that's a portrait of God's mercy and his grace. Romans 5:8 says it this way, that God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a picture, a portrait of God's mercy and his grace. That's what loving kindness is. Yeah, that's what loving kindness is. Yeah. He said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Good God Almighty. Wow. Live. Live, church. Receive the blessings of God. Receive the the abundance of God, receive the blessings of God, the favor of God, receive the love and kindness of God, receive his mercy and his grace. Live. We said in previous weeks that to live characterized a certain aspect here in out of the Hebrew, this word live. It's the word kayal. And it literally reflects the ability to bounce back. Amen. To be revived. To be restored. So innately as Christians, God has given us a bounce back ability. Amen. It's kind of like dropping a rubber ball to the floor. You ever got one of them super balls? You drop it and, I mean, you just barely dropping that thing, shoot up high. That's what God has given us in Christ Jesus as it relates to life. That even when we fall, boom, God blesses us to get back up again. The Bible says, amen, the Bible says that the righteous, a righteous man can fall seven times and get back up again. To the word seven translates, or the number seven in biblical numerology constitutes the word or the phrase completion. So a person who is in Christ can completely fall, utterly fall, and still get back up again because of the call, y'all, because of the bounce back ability that we have in Christ Jesus. Yeah, because of the bounce back ability. That's why we have the power and the privilege of confessing our sins. Yeah, according to 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and he is just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I thank God for his mercy. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his loving kindness. Yeah, that's why the psalmist said, give thanks to the Lord. He brings in some witnesses as we're going to hurry to a close here. He says in verse 2, he says, oh, let Israel say, his loving kindness is everlasting. He said, I ain't the only one been blessed. I'm not the only one the Lord done brought through. I'm not the only one that God has looked beyond my faults and saw my needs. He says, go get Israel. See, you'd have to know something about the Bible to give God some praise here. See, Israel, his name before God gave him the name Israel was the name Jacob. Amen. He was the brother of Esau. Praise God. He was the son of Isaac, the grandson of Abraham. And the name Jacob meant trickster. In other words, he was up to no good and approaching treacherous. Amen, somebody. But for the grace of God, God showed up one day in his life. Oh, y'all gonna make me preach and pray. I don't know if y'all wanna hear this. I say God showed up one day in his life and picked a fight with him. I say God picked a fight with him. Somebody who was bent on doing wrong and wasn't had no desire to do what was right. God picked a fight. See, there's a lot of folk with some Jacob in their lives, but God wants to put some Israel there. See, he picked. God showed up and picked a fight with Jacob. Praise be to God. Yeah, showed up and picked a fight with him. And as a result of picking a fight, the Bible says that Jacob was in his camp and he was lying down, and behold, a man showed up and started wrestling with Jacob. Somebody gonna pray with me. Let me tell you something. The only time God will pick a fight with a man or pick a fight with a woman is when he wanna get something away from them that's hurting them. If he wanna get something away from them that's harming them. If there's ways that they have that's not of God, God wants to wrestle and take that stuff away. And God wants to give them something else different. That which belongs to him. That which will result in blessing in their life and not cursing in their life. God showed up and started wrestling with Jacob. Oh, bless the Lord today. And the Bible said that he wrestled all night long. And finally, Jacob got a hold on the man who was wrestling with him. And he said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. Oh, if I had some time today. Good God Almighty. There's some folk that need to grab hold of God and tell him they're not going to let him go until he blesses him. Until he blesses him. And as a result of that, God went ahead because, see, God was the man wrestling with Jacob. Amen, somebody. In the night, it was God wrestling with him to take away the curse and to usher in the blessing. When Jacob wouldn't let the Lord go, because the daylight was breaking, the night was disappearing, and Jacob said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. The Lord looked at Jacob, and he told him, no longer shall your name be Jacob, but your name is Israel. Your name is Israel because you have strived with God and won. Oh, bless the name of God today. You have strived with the Lord and won. Jacob, you won the wrestling match. You put a pin hold on the Lord. You grabbed him and put him in such a tight grasp that you wouldn't let him get away. So he named him Israel. Because he strived with God and won. If I had time to tell you here on this evening, there are some folk that need to grab hold to the Lord and don't let him go. Because God will change your name. God will change your destiny. God will take the generational curses and instead give generational blessings. That's why the psalmist went and got Israel as a witness. He said, let Israel say, oh, good God Almighty, that the loving kindness of the Lord is everlasting. He said, I'm not in this thing by myself. I've got some witnesses that can tell you about the goodness of God. Where God looked beyond their sins, looked beyond their faults, and saw their needs. He says, go get Israel. Good God Almighty, go get Israel. He said, not only go get Israel, but he went on to verse 3. He said, go get Aaron. Good God Almighty. See, Aaron was the brother of Moses. God gave him a high priestly lineage. God took a man who had betrayed the trust of God and yet gave him an honor to be able to represent God in the midst of his people. He said, go get Aaron, the one who made the golden calves for the children of Israel to worship, the brother of Moses. Go get him. And let him tell you about the loving kindness of God, about God's ability to look beyond your faults and to see your needs, to look beyond your mess ups and to turn it into a message. Good God Almighty. He said, go get Aaron, the high priest of God's people. He said, go get him. But he didn't stop there. He says in verse 4, he says, let those who fear the Lord say, his loving kindness is everlasting. Oh, I'm going to have to end this thing. We'll finish up with part 5. Amen. But let me say this to you. He said, go get some folk who have a reverence for God. He said, go get them and let them testify and tell you about God's loving kindness. See, because it's one thing to have a love for God, and it's another thing to have a reverence for God. See, a reverence is represented in somebody who's going to obey God no matter what. Amen, somebody. See, when in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, when Abraham was instructed by God to go take his only begotten son, the son of promise, when God told Abraham to go get Isaac and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah, the Bible says that Abraham marched up to that mountain, took his son, pinned him on the altar, grabbed the knife, and was in the process of coming down into the chest of his son. And the angel of the Lord cried out, "Abraham, Abraham, do thy son no harm." He says, "For now I know that you fear me." He didn't say, "Now I know that you love me. Now I know you fear me. When you will not withhold that which is even precious to you. When you'll give me everything you got, I know you fear me." The psalmist say, go get them kind of folk who didn't walk with God, who have talked with God, and who put everything on the altar before the Lord. He said, go get those kind of folk and let them tell you about the goodness of God, about his loving kindness, about his tender mercy, about his amazing grace. God wants to encourage you today. He wants to challenge you today. He wants to decree and declare to you today to live, to experience the abundance and the overflow of God, to exercise your bounce back ability from whatever it is that you've been through. That which God has placed in you in Christ Jesus. Live. In the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen and hallelujah.